Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you will be with the person who is preaching, that by your grace the word will be preached correctly, and that you will bless every one of us who are hearing your word. Let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be more and more like your Son, imitating him in our lives to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have finished verse 19 last time, and today we're going to look at verse 20, and next Lord's Day we'll look at verse 21. Life is precious, as you know. It is very valuable. The Bible says it is more valuable than anything you might gain in this whole world. Thus, if you are willing to lose your life for something, then that something is truly valuable. Here in our passage, Paul tells us that he has found something that is worth losing his life. Yes, it is Jesus Christ. But if you lose your life for Jesus Christ, then you are not really losing your life, but you are actually gaining the eternal life. In Christ, even if you suffer much, and even you lose your life, ultimately you lose nothing. There is no true sacrifice, ultimately, for any Christians, because there are so much to gain. But our focus is not on what we gain, but our focus is always on Jesus Christ. We love him for he has loved us first. And we are willing to give our lives for him, for he has given his life for us. It is our great joy and honor to live for Christ and die for Christ. Psalm 73, verse 25 through 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Paul says the same thing in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. My earnest expectation and hope. Earnest expectation, eager, persistent longing, my deep desire. Paul is so focused on it that all others disappear. Paul tells us what is his eager, persistent longing. What is his deep desire? What is his earnest expectation? What is his hope? To put it simply, Christ be exalted. Christ be exalted. That Christ be magnified and honored. That Christ be shown to be great. And Paul does not mind whether this will be so by life or by death. It really doesn't matter what happens in this world. What really matters is that whatever that happens, that he will be able to show that Christ is great. This is his earnest expectation and hope. The Christ be exalted, whether this will be so by him being released from the prison or by him being found guilty and be executed, really doesn't matter. What is important is no matter what happens to Paul, that Christ be exalted. To die or not to die, to be or not to be is not the question for Paul. The question for Paul is whether Christ be exalted no matter what happens to him. It is okay for Paul to die unfairly or be released from the prison. Either way, it's okay. For Paul, this unfairness is okay because Jesus Christ has also been captured and unfairly treated and died. And the cross is the glory for Christ, and Paul wants the same. Now, what you need to understand is that God did not write this for us so that you may admire Paul. As if he is some super Christian that you will never be. That's Roman Catholics' idea. For them, there are saints. You know, they put this title to some Christians, saint something, treat them as a super Christians. The Christians, ordinary Christians, will never be. But that is not a biblical idea. Paul is an example of Christian. This is what Christian is all about. And if you feel that you're not like this, don't just say to yourself, oh, that's Paul. No, that's not what God is saying. It's not just Paul. God's goal, His purpose in you is to make you like this. Of course, you're not finished product yet. You're still growing. You're still being more and more like Christ. But chapter 1, verse 6, God who began a good work in you will finish it, will perfect it. You must believe that you are and you will be like this because you are a Christian. The Roman Catholic way of thinking gives you excuse not to live like this. You just say, oh, that's for super Christians. I'm just ordinary Christian. That is not the heart that God is giving you. That's from the other side. We're learning about who we are. We're learning about ultimately how we are because of what Christ has done and accomplished. You know, Christ, whenever He does something, He does it always perfectly. And if He wants you, if He makes you a Christian, He will make you a perfect Christian. Oh yes, it will take some time. You have to go through a progress, but you will be perfect. More perfect than Paul when he was here. Obviously, he is perfect now in heaven. And when you go to heaven, you're going to be more perfect than Paul that you see here, because this is while he was living here. See, it is not important to Paul whether he is declared as guilty or innocent by the worldly judge. He knows all is in God's hand, that God is in control. So Paul entrusts himself to this God, and Paul wants to imitate Christ even in his death. Whether I die or live, whether I am wealthy or poor, whether I am healthy or sick, no matter what happens to me, whether the things go smooth or we suffer, our earnest expectation and hope is that Christ be exalted. Either way, that Christ will be exalted. If he stays in prison and dies there, well, through that, Christ will be exalted. If he is released and he is going around and preaching, through that, Christ will be exalted. You have to really understand what is going on in your life. Whatever that happens in your life, it is an opportunity that Christ will be exalted through you. See, you have your own understanding how to glorify God. And your understanding is same as how the world understands how to glorify someone. In the world, unless you are successful, you can talk about glory. And they'll laugh at you if you're not successful. What glory? But this is not God's way. Really doesn't matter what world says to you, how they judge you. Whatever happens is your opportunity to exalt Christ. It's the perfect freedom. And I will talk about this next time when we get to verse 21. But it's a perfect freedom. You're free. You're free from the whole world. You're free from their judgments. You're free from their standards. You're free from everything that world does or whatever. You know, if you could go to the point of whether life or by death, if you could go to that point, if you could say that, whether I die or live, then all fear disappears. There is no fear. You are able to truly enjoy the perfect freedom of heaven. You know, later on, I will mention this, maybe a couple more sermons later. But here, Paul in a prison. And he will appear before the Roman court. And the most powerful kingdom in the whole world at the time will decide whether Paul is innocent or guilty. But, you know, if you read chapter 1, you know, we're starting verse 19, you read all the way through verse 26, it sounds Paul, he's the one who's going to choose to die or to live. That's his language. And you need to really be amazed by this. It says, verse 22, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions. It sounds like he's the one who's going to choose whether to die or whether to live. Do you see the freedom he has? It really doesn't matter if the most powerful, you know, king will decide whether I die or I live. No, it's I who choose to die for Christ. He's free. And I want you and I want myself to know this freedom. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, what is your earnest expectation and hope? What occupies your heart? It must be our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been created by God and saved by God so that we may live for Christ and die for Christ. It does not make any sense to say that we live for Christ when you are not willing to die for Christ. It also does not make any sense to say that we will die for Christ when you are not living for Christ. It just, you can't do that. He continues, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness. As he will stand before the Roman court, Paul hopes that he will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness he will witness Jesus Christ. He hopes that he will not be a coward. He hopes that he will not be a coward as he faces death. Why? Because Paul's life is all about witnessing Jesus Christ and living out the very life of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." Yeah, we tend to become a coward when we are faced with death. But you understand, Jesus has conquered that death. Even you die, you don't die, you live forever. And even if you don't die, you live forever. Death has no sting for you anymore. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, not just before the Roman court, but in all things, at all places, at all times, I will not be put to shame. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want you to remember something here. And this is very important. Through our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us, you and I have become God's people who will never, for forever, be put to shame in anything. And this is our eternal heavenly reality. Psalm 34 verse 5, they looked to Him, Christians looked to God, and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Psalm 25 verse 2 to 3, O my God, in You I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for You will be ashamed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, NIV says, the one who trusts in God will never be put to shame. While you live your life here on earth, you might be shamed by the world. But ultimately, you will never be ashamed. No Christian will be put to shame forever. I mean, if the Bible is false, and if all things will not come true according to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, then yes, we will be put to shame. That will be very shameful. We will be most pitied. But the word is true. It is the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you understand? Do you believe? For you and for me, there is ultimately no failure, no shame. This is your reality. It is not because you and I have done something that is precious and valuable. It is not because you and I have accomplished something great. No, only in Christ. Only because of Christ. Ecclesiastes says, everything under the sun is, chapter 1, verse 2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or NIV says, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Everything under the sun. No matter how much the world values it, it's meaningless. when that day comes. All of your accomplishments, so-called, that the world is impressed, will be meaningless when that day comes. You are not able to take all your accomplishments to heaven. We don't need it. We really don't need it forever. Meaningless, utterly meaningless. But in Jesus Christ, all has changed. You and I, we are not meaningless in Christ. In Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. You are not a failure. How many times do we feel that our lives are meaningless? How many times do we feel that we are a failure? If I die, will the world miss me? If I die, does it affect the world? Or is it as if you were never there, you were never needed? If you start thinking like this, you will be depressed. Because you're judging yourself, judging your life by the standard of this world. And you keep asking yourself, what did I have done that I could feel good about myself? But let me tell you, even if those people, even those people who so-called accomplish valuable things in this world, they feel depressed also. They just act like they're not. Because they're not free. They're not free from fear. They're not free from fear of death. Brothers and sisters, you might just feel that you're just breathing. And that's all you do, utterly valueless. But brothers and sisters, you cannot separate yourself from Christ and what He has accomplished for you anymore. Whenever I judge you, I cannot judge you alone. You alone. I have to judge you. You united to Christ. That is who you are. There's no you apart from Christ anymore. There is no such person, you apart from Christ anymore, if you're a Christian. So if you want to judge yourself, you have to do it in terms of you and Jesus Christ united to one another. So if He dies on the cross, you say, I die too. If He resurrects from the dead, you say, I am resurrected also. Do you see where I'm going? I cannot judge you apart from Christ anymore. Everything that Christ has done, I have to judge that you have done it. Oh, brothers and sisters, you have to get this. Because this is the gospel. You will never be a failure. I don't care how many times the world will tell you you're a failure. You will never be a failure in Jesus Christ. Do not listen to the world. And it's not just foolishly ignoring the truth. No, that's not what we're doing. We're living by the truth. When Jesus returns, you will see all that we're talking about is absolutely true. You cannot separate yourself from Christ and what He has done and accomplished for you anymore. See, me and my life now have an eternal meaning in Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ, what Paul says is just Paul being arrogant. See, if there's no Christ, then Paul, whatever Paul might say, it's just him being arrogant. But because of Christ, what Paul says is true. Even if Paul is so great, how can he not be put to shame in all things? That's just being arrogant. Wishing something that is impossible. Yeah, it's just wishing. And you know how, like, you, even though you know it's not going to happen, but you still wish kind of thing. That's all Paul's saying is, if there is no Jesus Christ. But because Jesus Christ, what Paul says is true. Brothers and sisters, you and I are God's masterpiece. If you fail, God fails. Do you understand that? And God will never fail. Which means you will never fail. As far as the purpose of God is concerned, you will not fail. Maybe your worldly purpose, in that you might fail. But those are trivial. Those are nothing. God's masterpiece. How can I look at the masterpiece of God and not be impressed? How dare I not be impressed? When you look at yourself in the mirror, or when you look at one another, you better be impressed. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For both he who sanctifies, which is Jesus, and those who are sanctified, which we are all from one Father, for which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. Are you ashamed of yourself? Jesus is not. Why are you ashamed of yourself? Because you're judging yourself by the worldly standard. And who told you to do that? And it's not just judging yourself, you're judging others by the worldly standards. Don't do that. Oh no, don't do that. Not in this church. Hebrews 11 verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. Christians, right? That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called their God, your God. Brothers and sisters, you must understand God is not ashamed of you. Do you understand? And it's not because of what you do or how you are or what. It's because of His Son, Jesus Christ, that you are united to Him. But the fact is that God is not ashamed of you. You know, we said in the beginning that if you lose your life for something, then that something is so valuable to you. I mean, how valuable is it to you that you will even willing to lose your life for it? Well, Jesus was willing to lose his life for you. How valuable are you? Jesus died for you. I might not be able to understand why you are so valuable, but when I look at Jesus giving his life for you, how dare I not understand that you are valuable? How can I do that? You must be really valuable that Jesus was willing to give up his life for you. And his death for you was not just physical death. What does that say to you? Just like Paul, we too, according to our earnest expectation and hope, that we will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. As you believe that you will be never be put to shame, you witness that reality as you live your life here. You're free. Enjoy that freedom. Because even if I'm bound physically, I still have heavenly freedom. You and I, we are willing. We are willing to lose all things and consider them rubbish just to gain Jesus Christ. Our sufferings, persecutions that we receive, even at our death, these are all the opportunities for Christ be exalted in our lives. You must understand what your life is all about. That what is true reality of your life. Do not listen to the world. The world will tell you what your life is according to their simple understanding and how you could make your life valuable or whatever. But listen to God. Your value is in Jesus Christ. Your boasting is Jesus Christ. You know, Let's say I'm comparing you and some worldly, very successful person. And this worldly successful person will tell me all that he has done and all the accomplishments that he had made. Oh, you know, worldly, very impressive. And here you got nothing to say about worldly accomplishments, but you boast to me about Christ. I will be more impressed about you than this worldly, successful, whatever he thinks he is. I have to judge you by how God judges you. And I'm not talking about then because whatever we do in this world, it just doesn't matter, and don't even study, don't be a great whatever. But I'm not saying that. Go to the best school that you could go to, be a whatever you want to, but your value is still not those things. Compared to Jesus, those things are truly nothing. So even as you might be doing something in the world that the world might even recognize, your boasting is always Jesus Christ. But just because the world recognizes it as something great doesn't mean it is great. What if you're very sick and you're bedridden? You can't even move. You cannot even get out of the bed. On your back, but you pray. You pray for the church. You pray for the ministry of the church. And you do that fervently. Who says that that life is meaningless? Who says just because you do not accomplishing big things out there in the world that your life is meaningless? Who says? Who judges like that? Do not judge yourself or judge others by the worldly standards. Don't do that. Oh yeah, you could come to me and tell me all you have done out there. I'm not impressed. No, I'm truly not impressed. I'm not even joking. But as you come here and give all you got as you worship Him and praise Him and you love your God, of that I am very impressed. What is your earnest expectation and hope? Of course, Christ be exalted. Romans chapter 14, verse 8, "For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is just remarkable how you are working in us so that through the lips of sinners, the confession, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. It is truly amazing grace that sinners like us will be able to confess this. Bless us that all our focus will be Christ. That it is in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. Bless us. Thank you, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.